يسر مركز رياض الصالحين الإسلامي بدبي أن يقدم لكم هذه المادة الصوتية.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، حياكم الله مجددا، ونسأل الله عز وجل لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد في القول والعمل. لازلنا في كتاب صريح السنة للإمام محمد بن جرير الطبري رحمه الله تعالى، والمتوفى 210 للهجرة. وكنا قد تكلمنا فيما مضى بعد المقدمة عن الحديث عن كلام الله عز وجل، وأن القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق، منه بدأ وإليه يعود، وحيثما تصرف فهو كلام الله، كما شرحناه فيما مضى. وذكرنا كذلك وجوب الإيمان بأن المؤمنين يرون ربهم في الجنة، كما دل على ذلك القرآن والسنة والإجماع.
The Shaykh, he began praising Allah Azza wa Jal, beseeching Allah to send the salat and the salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions all together. Then the Shaykh, he mentions, Hayyakum Allah, may Allah ta'ala extend all of your life. We are still within this book, the explanation of Sarih al-Sunnah by the great Imam Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari alayhi rahmatullah, who passed away in the year 310 after the Hijrah. In the previous sittings, we discussed the affair of the Quran being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how it is the speech of Allah azza wa jal, not created. From him it began, unto him is going to return. It is the speech of Allah no matter how it is dealt with, as we have affirmed. We also discussed the obligation of the servant believing that the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the paradise of Allah azza wa jal, as is proven by way of the Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus.
وبدأ بعد ذلك بقوله: القول في أفعال العباد وحسناتهم وسيئاتهم. قال: وأما الصواب من القول لدينا فيما اختلف فيه من أفعال العباد وحسناتهم وسيئاتهم، فإن جميع ذلك من عند الله تعالى، والله سبحانه مقدره ومدبره، لا يكون شيء إلا بإذنه، ولا يحدث شيء إلا بمشيئته، له الخلق والأمر كما يريد. ثم ذكر الأدلة على ذلك.
So here the author, he goes on to mention and to speak about the issue of the statement in relation to the actions of the servants, their good as well as their evil. And so he mentioned that the correct view regarding the action of the slaves, as for the correct view of the statements that we are aware of with respect to that which is different over regarding the action of the slave, their good and their evil, then truly all of that is from Allah the Exalted. Allah glorified is He. He is the one who decrees it. He is the one who manages it. Nothing comes to be except with His permission, and nothing takes place except by way of His will. Creation is His, and all affairs are just as He wills.
وهذه المسألة وهي خلق أفعال العباد من القضايا التي حصل فيها نزاع بين أهل السنة وبين المعتزلة والجهمية، وهي من المسائل الداخلة في الإيمان بقضاء الله وقدره، الذي هو ركن من أركان الإيمان.
This issue, and that is the issue of the creation of the deeds of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the affairs concerning which there is a difference between Ahlul Sunnah and those who oppose them, from the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya and other than them. And it is from the affairs that are connected to the divine decree and the foreordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a pillar from the pillars of Iman.
والإيمان بالقضاء والقدر دل عليه القرآن، كما في قوله: إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. ودل عليه سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أحاديث كثيرة منها حديث جبريل لما سأله عن أركان الإيمان أو ما الإيمان، فذكر أن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. يقول ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما: القدر نظام التوحيد، القدر نظام التوحيد، فمن وحد الله ولم يؤمن بالقدر كان ذلك ناقضا للتوحيد، ومن وحد الله ولم يؤمن بالقدر كان ذلك ناقضا للتوحيد. فمعنى نظام التوحيد أي لا يتم التوحيد إلا به، ولا ينتظم إلا به، ولا يستكمل إلا به.
So the Shaykh mentioned, حفظه الله ورعاه, that iman and a divine decree, it is something which is proven in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the statement of Allah azza wa jalla when he mentioned everything we have created with qadr, with divine decree. And likewise, in relation to what has come in the sunnah, then there are many narrations that have come in the sunnah proving and establishing the affair of belief in the divine decree. From them, there is the hadith of Jibril, wherein Jibril asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about iman, meaning what is iman? And amongst that which he mentioned was that you believe in the divine decree is good as well as it's evil. Ibn Abbas, he mentioned, radiallahu anhuma, that al-qadr, it is the nizam al-tawheed, it is the organizational structure of al-tawheed. So therefore, whoever believes in al-tawheed, whoever singles out Allah in tawheed, but does not believe in the divine decree, then he has nullified or contradicted his tawheed. And the meaning of that, it is the nizam of tawheed, that the organizational structure of a tawheed is that one's tawheed is not complete. It is not set in order, it is not perfect or whole, except with belief in the divine decree.
ولا يتم الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر إلا بالإيمان بمراتبه الأربع، وهي العلم والكتابة والخلق والمشيئة. علم كتابة مولانا مشيئته وخلقه وهو إيجاد وتكوين. علم كتابة مولانا مشيئته وخلقه وهو إيجاد وتكوين. فلا يتم الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر إلا أن تؤمن بأن الله يعلم كل شيء، وتؤمن بأن الله قد كتب كل شيء، وتؤمن بأن الله قد خلق كل شيء، وأن كل شيء بمشيئته. والمرتبة وهي مرتبة الخلق هي التي تحدث عنها هنا، ويدخل فيها أفعال العباد وأنها من خلق الله تعالى.
He says, and belief in the divine decree, it is not correct except by way of believing in its four levels. Firstly, ilm or knowledge. Secondly, the affair of the writing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, the affair of creation. And fourthly, the affair of the mashia, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he mentioned some lines of poetry to this effect, mentioning knowledge and likewise the writing of our Mawla, our patron Lord, and the will, and then thereafter the creation, and that is the ijad, the bringing into existence, and the setting the affairs in order. So one must believe that Allah Ta'ala knows all things. It's the knowledge. One must believe as well that Allah Ta'ala has written all things, and it's the writing. Likewise, one must believe that Allah Ta'ala has created and brought into existence all things, and likewise, you must believe that what Allah Ta'ala wills is what He does not will. It is not that He has willed all of these affairs. He says, and so in relation to the level of creation, this is what is being spoken about here, and the fact that the actions of the servants enter into the creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
ودل على أن أفعال العباد مخلوقة، قوله تعالى: قل الله خالق كل شيء، وقوله تعالى: الله خالق كل شيء، وقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: والله خلقكم وما تعملون، وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله خالق خالق كل صانع وصنعته. إن الله خالق كل صانع كل صانع وصنعته. قال البخاري: فأخبر أن الصناعات وأهلها مخلوقة. أخبر أن الصناعات وأهلها مخلوقة. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله رد على المعتزلة في هذه المسألة في كتاب مستقل مطبوع، وهو كتابه خلق أفعال العباد.
نعم. So thereafter, the Sheikh mentions that what proves that the actions of the servant are created are a number of verses that have come in the Book of Allah. From them, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, wherein he mentioned that Allah is the creator of all things. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that Allah has created all things, using the verb. Likewise, he mentioned that Allah Ta'ala has created you and your handiwork, or that which you do. He says, likewise, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned in a narration that Allah Ta'ala, he creates, or he has created the sana'at, yani the manufacturings of things that were created, and the ones that were the ones that have created them. He says that al-Bukhari, he likewise has mentioned that Allah Ta'ala, he is informing here that Allah Ta'ala, he has created the actions of the servants as well as the servants who have done the action. Imam al-Bukhari, he has refuted the Mu'tazila in a separate book that he has entitled Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, or the creation of the actions of the servants.
وبيان ذلك أن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي خلق العبد، وهو الذي خلق مشيئته وخلق له قدرة وأعطاه الإرادة والاختيار، فما أحدثه العبد هو داخل فيما خلقه الله عز وجل وفيما خلقه من قدرته، قدرة هذا العبد ومشيئته. وهنا لا بد من فهم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يكون شيء إلا بمشيئته، ومع هذا فإن الله لم يجبر العباد على أفعالهم، بل أعطاهم القدرة والمشيئة والاختيار، ولكنهم إن اختاروا وشاءوا فإن الله يعلم أنهم سيختارون هذا الأمر، وحين وقوعه فإنه يكون من خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى، سواء كان من الحسنات أم من السيئات. وهذه الإرادة الكونية التي قد يحبها الله وقد لا يحبها، ولكن حين وقوعها نعلم أن الله أرادها كونا، نعلم أن الله أرادها كونا. ويدل على ذلك الأدلة الكثيرة في القرآن على إثبات أن العبد له إرادة، وأنه مأمور بالعمل، مثل قوله تعالى: وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله، فأثبت لهم مشيئة. ومثل قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اعملوا وكل ميسر لما خلق له. فقوله اعملوا دل على أن عندهم قدرة ومشيئة يختارون بها، وهذا ما يجده العبد في حركاته وسكناته، يستطيع أن يختار أن يشرب أو لا يشرب، يأخذ أو لا يأخذ، ولكن أفعاله كلها هي من خلق الله عز وجل، لأنه كله مخلوق بإرادته ومشيئته واختياره وقدرته.
The Sheikh mentions that, and so what clarifies this matter that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has created the servants, is the fact that Allah Ta'ala has created the servants themselves, and He has created His will and has given them the ability and the choice and the volition to choose whatever He chooses to do. He says, and so all of that that Allah Ta'ala has given a servant of creating him, giving him the will and the ability, all of that enters into the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But in addition to that, Allah has given the servant free will and has given his given him free volition, a choice to choose whatever he wants to embark upon, of good or evil. He says, but Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala, in spite of this, he does not force or compel him to do anything. But rather, at the same time, none of this negates or goes against the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, so Allah Ta'ala, he knew that the servant would choose whatever he has chosen to do. He says, whether it be of good or evil. And Allah Ta'ala, he allowed this to occur by way of what is known as al-irada al-kawniyah, his universal wanting, meaning he wanted these things to happen from a universal standpoint. He says, and those things that Allah Ta'ala, he wills from a universal standpoint, maybe he likes them or maybe he dislikes them. He says that, but whatever the case may be, this is from the universal standpoint. And what proves this is what has come inside the Quran, meaning what proves that Allah Ta'ala has given the servant his free will to choose whatever he may choose to do. Proofs for this have come inside the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. From that is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and you cannot will unless it be that Allah wills. He says in this verse, Allah Ta'ala, he affirmed that the servant he has free will. And likewise, there has come in the narration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, i'mal, he said, do actions, work. He said, for each person will find it easy to do the deeds that will get him to his destined place. In this narration, we find an affirmation of the servant having the ability to do actions and having the ability to choose what actions he chooses. So this is that which we affirm and that which we know, that a servant, he may choose to drink something or not to drink something. He may choose to take something or to leave it there. He says, all of this is that which Allah Ta'ala has given the servant of free will. Allah Ta'ala has chosen, he has created all of this. He has created the servant's ability. He has created the servant's his desire to do it and given him the choice, what have you. He says, this likewise enters into the will of Allah, the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, because the servant cannot will anything unless it be that Allah Ta'ala wills, Lord of all that exists.
والأدلة على ذلك كثيرة ومنها ما ذكره ابن جرير هنا بإسناده من حديث جابر بن عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن عبد حتى يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره وحتى يعلم أن ما أصابه لم يكن ليخطئه وما أخطأه لم يكن ليصيبه. وهذا الحديث حديث صحيح وصححه الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله تعالى، وفيه بيان أن القدر من أركان الإيمان الذي لا يتم الإيمان إلا به، ويجب أن يكون إيمانه بالقدر خيره وشره، وأن الأمر كله من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. ومن أعظم ثمرات الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر هو أن يطمئن العبد في حياته الدنيا في كل ما أصابه وما لم يصبه أو فاته، فإذا أصابه أمر أو مصيبة علم أنها بقضاء الله وقدره فصبر ورضي، وإن فاتته نعمة يعلم أنها لم تكتب له فأيضا رضي بقضاء الله عز وجل وقدره.
So thereafter, the author goes on to cite some evidences for this matter. From that, which he brings is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, and it's on page 49, close of following. And so he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a slave does not believe until he believes in the divine decree, is good and is evil, and until he knows that whatever befalls him could not have missed him, and he knows that whatever misses him could not have befallen him. He says that this narration, it is an authentic narration, graded to be sahih by Imam al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, and it clarifies the fact that belief in the divine decree is a pillar from the pillars of al-Iman, for that a servant's Iman is not complete unless he believes in it, as has come in the narration. A servant does not believe until he believes in the divine decree. He says, and belief in the divine decree, it gives the servant peace of mind. It gives the individual, if he believes in it properly, it gives you peace of mind. And the servant is able to know that if he attains something from this dunya, then something of pain or difficulty or hardship, he's patient with that, and he is pleased with whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed for him. Similarly, if something of ni'mah misses him, that he wanted and had hoped for, then he does not get disgruntled, but rather he is pleased with what Allah has decreed for him.
وذكر أثر ابن عمر قال القدرية مجوس هذه الأمة فإن مرضوا فلا تعودوهم وإن ماتوا فلا تشهدوهم. وهذا الأثر عن ابن عمر أيضا جاء مرفوعا من قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحسنه الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله تعالى، وقوله القدرية مجوس هذه الأمة. ووجه الشبه بين القدرية والمجوس أن القدرية في أفعال العباد يقولون إن الله خلق العبد وإن العبد خالق لفعل نفسه، إن الله خلق العبد والعبد خالق لفعل نفسه. فكم عندنا خالق هنا؟ خالقين، بل كل العباد يخلقون، زادوا على المجوس. فإذا أثبتوا خالقين والمجوس عبدة النار، أيضا يقولون بإلهين، إله النور وإله الظلمة، إله النور يأتي بالخير وإله الظلمة يأتي بالشر. فهذا وجه الشبه بين المعتزلة وبين القدرية. ثم أمر بأن يهجر هؤلاء لأن قولهم من الأقوال الكفرية، قولهم من الأقوال الكفرية. ومن باب الفائدة طبعا على عكس قول المعتزلة قول الجهمية الذين يقولون إن العبد مجبور ولا قدرة له ولا اختيار، فهو كالريشة في مهب الريح تحركها الريح حيث تشاء، فلا قدرة ولا اختيار. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له، اعملوا رد على من؟ الجبرية، لأنه لو كان مجبورا لما أمر بالعمل لأنه مجبور أصلا. وكل ميسر لما خلق له رد على القدرية المعتزلة في بيان أن كل ما يكون هو بقضاء الله وقدره.
So thereafter, the Sheikh mentions this narration of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما when he mentioned that the Qadariya or the Majus or the Magians of this nation, so if they get sick, don't visit them, and if they die, do not intend their janazah or pray over them. He says, and so here, this narration from Ibn Umar also comes in a marfu form, meaning actually being attributed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that narration has been graded authentic by Imam Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Qadariya or the Magians or the Majus of this Ummah. He says, and the watch or the reason why he likened them to the Magians is because the servants who was a Qadari, that he believes in relation to the action of the servant that Allah Ta'ala created the servant, but the servant created his own actions. He says, so therefore he has affirmed how many creators? Two here, that Allah Ta'ala he created, and likewise the servant thereafter created. But rather you find that they say that every servant creates his own actions, so they far exceed and go beyond that of the Qadariya. And similarly and the Majus who are fire worshippers, they say, or they affirm, two ilahs. They say that there's an ilah of light and an ilah of darkness. The ilah of light creates everything that is good, and the ilah of darkness creates everything that is evil. So like this, they affirm two creators. So this is why the Qadariya have been likened to the Majus. He says, so thereafter, he goes on to mention that they should be abandoned and boycotted. Why? Because they make these statements that are in reality statements of disbelief. He said, but here we want to mention the benefit. And it is that in relation to the Qadariya, their statement matches up with that of the Mu'tazila. They are Mu'tazila. But those who are on the opposite end of the spectrum from them are the Jahmiyyah. And they say that the servant is forced and compelled to do whatever he does. Thus he is like a leaf that is blowing in the wind, having no choice nor any ability to do anything whatsoever. He says, and so, this is you know, they're on the opposite end of that. But the Prophet Muhammad said, alayhi wasallam, i'mal, he said, do actions. For everyone shall find it easy to do the actions that have been facilitated for him. He says, so in his statement, i'mal, act, in this lies a refutation against the Jabriya or the Jahmiya, those who say that the person is forced or compelled. Because if a person is forced or compelled, then how can the Prophet alayhi wasallam tell him to act? Where will he get the ability, and where will he get the free will to act if he is forced or compelled to do whatever he does? And in the second part of the hadith, that everyone will find it easy to do the deeds that are facilitated for him, in this lies a refutation against the Mu'tazila al-Qadriya, those who say that, yani, that the affairs are like this by mere happenstance. He says, because and this shows that Allah Ta'ala, he decrees for the servants that their deeds and their actions, all of that happens by way of Allah Ta'ala's divine decree.
وها هنا سؤال ويجيب عليه الإخوة الذين جاءوا من الخارج. حسب ما درسنا في هذا الكتاب, ما الأمر الذي أدخله المعتزلة في خلق الله وهو ليس من خلق الله, وما الأمر الذي هو من خلق الله وقالوا ليس من خلق الله؟
So here he presents a question. So he says, for the brothers that have come from outside, what is the issue that the Mu'tazila have entered into the creation of Allah that is not from the creation of Allah? And what is the issue they have entered into that it says is not from the creation of Allah that they have made to be, or that is actually from the creation of Allah?
من يعرف الإجابة؟ خارج أمريكا من
Somebody from outside, one of the Americans or somebody else.
يلا. ما اسمك؟
Your name?
اسمك؟ عيسى. أي عيسى. أنت من تنزانيا صح؟ أيوة. عرفناك. قل. نعم. وهو ليس من خلق الله. نعم.
وقد أدخل فعل العبد
أخرجوا
فعل العبد على أنه ليس من خلق الله
وهو أحسنت بارك الله فيك.
So the brother, he mentioned that the issue which they have entered into the creation of Allah, which is not from Allah's creation, is the Quran. The Quran is not a created thing, it's not from the creation of Allah. And that the affair which they have said is not from the creation of Allah, which is the creation of Allah, is the actions of the servants, because it actually is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Tanzania fazu ala America.
Okay, so Tanzania, they beat the Americans today.
طيب انتقل بعد ذلك رحمه الله إلى مسألة أخرى وهي من مسائل الاعتقاد, وهو في بيان مكانة الصحابة ومنزلتهم. والصحابة هم كل من رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو لقيه ولو لحظة وهو مؤمن به, فهذا له فضل الصحبة رضي الله تعالى عنه.
So thereafter he transitions to go to speak to another issue, which is connected to the issues of Aqidah, and that is the affair of the companions and their status which they occupy. And the Sahaba, they are all of those who saw and or met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believed in him. He says, even if it was for a short amount of time, he said, this is the virtue of the companions. May Allah be pleased with them.
وجاءت الأدلة الكثيرة في القرآن والسنة على فضل الصحابة عموما, من ذلك قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لو أنفق أحدكم, أو لا تسبوا أصحابي, فلو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. وفضل الصحابة على من بعدهم هو في الإجمال وفي الأفراد, بمعنى أن قرن الصحابة هو أفضل القرون, وأن الصحابة لا يأتي أبدا أحد بعدهم من هو أفضل منهم, ولو كان من أكبر التابعين، ففضل الصحبة لا يعدلها فضل.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he mentions that, and in relation to the virtue of the Sahaba, then there are many texts that have come to indicate this from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From them, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Do not revile my companions, for if one of you were to spend gold equivalent to Mount Uhud in charity, it will not be equivalent to a handful spent by one of them, not even half of that." He says, and this is because the Sahaba, yani their virtue of, they have a great virtue over those who came after them, and their virtue is both a general virtue as well as an individual virtue. He says, meaning by way of that, that general virtue, that they are the best generation. There's no generation after them that is better than them. And likewise, as it relates to individuals, he said there is no individual that comes after the companion. After the companions that is better than the companions, no matter what they may have reached a virtue, even if it is from the most virtuous of the tabi'een, it doesn't matter. They are still not better than the companions, because suhbah, being a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a virtue that none after them can attain.
قال وأما الحق في اختلافهم في أفضل أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فما جاء عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم وتتابع على القول به السلف. يبين هنا أن ما وقع من الخلاف بين أهل السنة وغيرهم، وإلا فإن أهل السنة مجمعون على أن أفضل أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أبو بكر، ثم عمر، ثم عثمان، ثم كان خلاف في أول الأمر أيهم أفضل، عثمان أم علي، ولكن الإجماع استقر على أن عثمان أفضل من علي. والخلاف هنا في قضية عثمان وعلي هي في الأفضلية، أما في الخلافة فإن عثمان بإجماع السلف مقدم على علي في الخلافة. فأفضل هذه الأمة هو أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، ويليه عمر، ويليه عثمان، ثم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. يقول ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما: كنا زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا نعدل بأبي بكر أحدا، ثم عمر، ثم عثمان، ثم نسكت ولا نفاضل بين أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكن كما قلنا استقر إجماع السلف على أن ترتيبهم في الفضل هو ترتيبهم في الخلافة، خلفاء الأربع، ثم يأتي بعدهم تتمة العشرة المبشرين بالجنة، وهكذا أهل بدر، وكل الصحابة عدول ثقات أهل فضل، كما قال تعالى: وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. وأما الحديث الذي ذكره وهو حديث جابر بن عبد الله فهو حديث ضعيف لا يصح، بل نص بعض أهل العلم على أنه حديث موضوع، والأدلة الأخرى كثيرة في بيان فضائل هؤلاء الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين.
So the author, he mentions here the correct view regarding the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as for the truth with respect to their differing over the best of the companions. The Sheikh says that what is intended by way of this that the people differed regarding that, he means that the differing here is between Ahlul Sunnah and the people, and other than them, those who opposed them from the people of deviation. As for Ahlul Sunnah, then they are united and have agreement that the best of the companions is firstly and foremostly Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. After him comes Umar ibn al-Khattab, After him comes Uthman. He said that in the beginning of the affair, yani, that there was some difference regarding the afdali, yani, who was more virtuous between Uthman and Ali. Yani, but the affair of the Salaf, it ended up being settled, and there is consensus that their sequence in terms of their khilafah is just as their sequence in terms of their virtue, meaning Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. This is that which Ahl al-Sunnah was settled upon, and their consensus had arrived at that. He says, Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, he said that we used to say during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we did not deem anyone to be equivalent to Abu Bakr, and thereafter Umar, and thereafter Uthman, and then we will remain silent. He says, and this is during the time of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But as we had previously mentioned, that the Salaf came to have ijma' upon the fact that their sequence in terms of the Khilafah is like the sequence in terms of virtue. First, the most virtuous is Abu Bakr, then the most virtuous thereafter is Umar, and then thereafter is Uthman, and then thereafter is Ali. So the Shaykh says, and then after them comes the rest of the 10 companions who were promised paradise. And then after them, yani, comes the rest of the companions that participate in the Battle of Badr. And every companion has adali, has uprightness and trustworthiness with us. All of them have been promised paradise by Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, thereafter he mentions the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah. However, this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah is a weak narration. Some have even deemed it to be fabricated. However, yani, what is sufficient for us is the many other narrations that have come speaking about the virtue of the Sahaba, as those narrations are plentiful, speaking about their virtue.
قال وكذلك نقول فأفضل أصحابه صلى الله عليه وسلم الصديق أبو بكر رضي الله عنه ثم الفاروق بعده عمر ثم ذو النورين عثمان بن عفان ثم أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. هذه من العبارات التي تدل على براءة ابن جرير الطبري رحمه الله من التشيع. هو ذكر أن أفضل الصحابة أبو بكر، وأبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وعمر وذو النورين عثمان وعلي رضي الله تعالى عنه فضائلهم مذكورة ومشهورة، بعضها في القرآن وبعضها أو كثير منها في سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. ومما يلاحظ هنا في عبارته هو تخصيص علي بن أبي طالب بقوله إمام المتقين دون ذكر الإمامة لمن قبله من الثلاثة الخلفاء. وهذا وإن كان لا يقصده الإمام رحمه الله، ولكن لا ينبغي تخصيص علي بالإمامة عند ذكر بقية الصحابة، لأن هذا قد يشعر بقول الرافضة بأن أنه هو الأولى بالإمامة وأنه هو الإمام بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكما قلنا هذا لا يقصده ابن جرير رحمه الله، ولكن الأولى استخدام يعني عبارة غير إمام المتقين، خصوصا مع وجود الخلاف بين أهل السنة والرافضة في هذه المسألة.
Thereafter he goes on to mention, and likewise we say that the best, and this is page 52, that the best of the companions are As-Siddiq Abu Bakr, then Al-Faruq Umar after him, then Dhul-Nurayn who's Uthman ibn Affan, and then the Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Imam of the Pious Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with all of them. He says, and so we find here from this great Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari that this statement is from those statements that indicate and prove that he is free of a tashayyu', of inclining towards the beliefs of the Shia, because he has mentioned Abu Bakr as the first in terms of virtue. And it is known that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, all four of them have so many virtues, and their virtues are plentiful and mentioned inside of the Book of Allah, and some of them inside of the Sunnah. However, the Shaykh drew attention to the fact that he specified Ali with mention here that he is the chief of the believers and the imam of the pious. The Shaykh says that, but it's not proper and befitting for him to single him out with this description. Even though Ali is greatly virtuous, it is not proper and befitting that he single him out with this description, because the statement, it resembles the statement of Ar-Rafida, indicating that he has more right to the imamate, he is the true imam, and so on and so forth. He had more right to leadership after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, it's not proper and befitting to single him out with mention in this specific affair when the others are mentioned and not mentioned the same thing in relation to them, especially since it's the case there's contention between Ahl Sunnah and Ar-Rafida regarding the likes of this issue.
ثم قال وأما أولى الأقوال بالصواب عندنا فيما اختلفوا من أولى الصحابة بالإمامة فبقول من قال بما ثم ذكر حديث سفينة وحديث سفينة حديث مشهور أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الخلافة في أمتي 30 سنة ثم من بعد ذلك ملك قال لي سفينة أمسك يعني عد معي خلافة أبي بكر 2 سنين خلافة عمر 10 خلافة عثمان 12 وخلافة علي 6 قال فنظرت فوجدتها 30 سنة أولى الصحابة بالخلافة هو أبو بكر ودل على خلافته الإشارة من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بل في بعضها النص على أنه الخليفة بعده يأبى الله والمؤمنون إلا أبا بكر قال سدوا كل خوخة يعني مدخل إلى المسجد إلا خوخة أبي بكر ولما مرض أمر أبا بكر أن يصلي بالناس وجاءت امرأة تسأله قالت إن جئت السنة القادمة ولم أجدك قال ائت أبا بكر ثم اتفق الصحابة على اختيار أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وهكذا بعده عمر ولاه أبو بكر وخلف بالخلافة له ثم بعده عمر جعل الأمر شورى بين 6 من الصحابة ثم اتفقوا بعد ذلك على أن يسألوا الناس فاختار الناس عثمان ثم بعد عثمان تولى الخلافة علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وقوله هنا في الحديث الصحيح الخلافة في أمتي 30 سنة الصواب أن هذا الحديث حديث سفينة يدخل أيضا فيه خلافة الحسن بعد علي إلى أن تنازل عام الجماعة 40 للهجرة بالخلافة لمن؟ لمعاوية فتم الصلح بين الناس يقول ابن أبي العز رحمه الله في شرح الطحاوية وكانت خلافة أبي بكر 2 سنة و3 أشهر وخلافة عمر 10 سنين ونصفا وخلافة عثمان 12 سنة وخلافة علي 4 سنين و9 أشهر 4 سنين و9 أشهر وخلافة الحسن 6 أشهر فمجموع ذلك 30 سنة كما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم معاوية بعد ذلك أول الملوك. وأثنى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ملكه فقال: ثم بعد ذلك ملك ورحمة. وينبغي الانتباه أن أول باب في الطعن في الصحابة هو الطعن في معاوية، فمن رأيتموه يطعن في معاوية فهو طاعن في صحابة رسول الله. لذلك قال عبد الله المبارك وغيره: معاوية ستر أصحاب رسول الله، ستر أصحاب رسول الله، فمن اجترأ أي تجرأ على هذا الستر فهو لما بعده أولى. فعقيدة أهل السنة باختصار أن الصحابة كلهم عدول وأهل فضل وأهل مكانة، تذكر محاسنهم ويدعى لهم ويترضى عنهم، ونسكت عما شجر بينهم. هذه عقيدة أهل السنة في الصحابة في اختصار.
Thereafter, she goes on to mention this hadith. Know that the hadith of Safina, and it is an authentic narration, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Khilafah will be in my nation for a period of 30 years. Thereafter is going to be kingship. He says that, and so Safina said to me, count the Khilafah of Abu Bakr was 2 years, and that of Umar was 10 years, that of Uthman was 12 years, and the Khilafah of Ali was 6 years. So I looked and I found it to be 30 years, as the Prophet alayhi wasalam had informed. He said, this narration, it is a well-known hadith. And it speaks about how the Khilafah will last for a period of 30 years. After that, there's going to be kingship. And so when you count the Khilafah of all three or all four of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, you find it to be a period of 30 years. Again, 2 for Abu Bakr, 10 for Umar, 12 for Uthman, and 6 for Ali. He says, Naam. And so as it relates to this, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is known is that the awla, the one that had the most right to the Khilafah, was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And this is by way of the Ishara, by way of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, giving an indication that he is to be the Khalifa after him. He says, and likewise, there are some texts that are a clear-cut indication. They are clear, not just an Ishara. There are clear indications that he wanted Abu Bakr to be the Khalifa after him. For example, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah and the believers refused that it should be anybody except Abu Bakr. Likewise, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, close every khawhag, every entrance, point of entrance into the masjid, close every point of entrance with the exception of that of Abu Bakr. He said, and likewise, there was the narration wherein the woman, she came to ask the Messenger of Allah question, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he told her to come back later. And she said, well, what if I don't find you here? Meaning, what if I were to find you have died? He said, then go to Abu Bakr. He says, and so, yani, all of this, likewise, he mentioned the fact that the Sahaba, and yani, they had consensus upon appointing Abu Bakr. They rallied around Abu Bakr, and they appointed him as the Khalifa. And this is how he was appointed as the ruler. In relation to Umar, yani, he was appointed by Abu Bakr. He was appointed by Abu Bakr to be the ruler. And when Umar was stabbed, yani, then thereafter there was an ensurer, there was yani, a consultative body. And the consultative body came together and they pushed forward Uthman. After, you know, they asked the people and went to speak to the people, they decided upon Uthman. And then thereafter, yani, Ali was the natural next Khalifa thereafter. He says it so, yani, as it relates to this narration, the narration, it is sahih, it is correct. He says, and also, yani, what is correct in relation to it as well, in terms of this number, that the Khilafah of Hassan, yani, the grandson of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, enters into that as well, after his father, that of after Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, until he stepped down and withdrew from the Khilafah, handing it over to Muawiyah radiallahu anhumah. He says, and so Ibn Abi al-Izz, who was the author of al-Tahawi, or the explainer of al-Tahawi rather, he mentions in his explanation of al-Tahawi that the Khilafah of Abu Bakr It was 2 years and 3 months. And the Khilaf of Umar, it was 10.5 years. And that of Uthman, it was 12 years. And that of Ali, it was 4 years and 9 months. And then thereafter came the Khilaf of Hassan ibn Ali. And he was the Khalifa for 6 months before he handed it down to Muawiyah. By way of that, bringing together or bringing peace between two parties of the Muslims. He says, and so when you look at all of that, it's going to equal 30 years exactly. He says, and so after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned there's going to come kingship. And the Prophet alayhi wasallam affirmed the kingship of Muawiyah. Muawiyah, he was the first of the Muluk, the first of the kings in al-Islam. And the Prophet affirmed his kingship because he said, after that 30, there's going to be kingship and rahmah and mercy. He says, and so we must pay attention to this particular affair. He says, because the first bab, the first door to ta'an and making a revolvement of the companions is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Because you not find anyone who makes ta'an of a sahaba except that he reviles Muawiyah even more so. He says, and so Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he mentions that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he is the curtain of the companions. Whoever is bold enough to break through that curtain, then what is behind that curtain, there will be even more so to embark upon that, meaning the revilement of the companions. So what is incumbent upon all of us is that we have love for all of the companions, and that we spread their virtues and speak about their good, and that we make dua for them, and we supplicate to Allah to be pleased with all of them, and that we remain silent regarding the schism or the those things that occurred between the companions. This is a summary of the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the Sahaba.
بهذا ننتهي والله أعلم صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
So we'll stop here إن شاء الله تعالى, and he sent the salat and the salam upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.